help me move all that just over here, and let's leave the rug there. We can move this over here. Thank you. And then we're gonna bring this mic. We want to leave them there. Thank you, Jim. This we need. This is for the yogis' feet. They're for their toes. Okay.
So this may be the first ever poetry slam that BCB has. It's definitely the first poetry slam I've had at a retreat. But I found the poems and the songs that you were offering to be so joyful and moving, profound, that it felt like the right thing to do. And even if you're repeating a poem that you said before, we won't remember. We caught a couple of words, but you know, things don't stick at a certain point for many of us. So don't be afraid of that or worried if you already said your poem before. And there is a practice that we have in Buddhism called the Four Boundless Qualities. Have you heard of this? The Four Boundlessnesses? Yes? Boundlessnesses? So the Four Boundlessnesses are boundless love, boundless compassion, boundless rejoicing, and boundless equanimity. And this third one, I think, is where we're going to put our energy. This third one is, for me in my Dharma life, has been one of the most important practices that I have received from my teachers or as a teaching, which is that if you take joy in the joy of others and you take joy in the accomplishments and the offerings of others, your merit doubles and triples the more joyful you are in the merit of others. And when I first heard this teaching, I thought, oh, that sounds great. And then my teacher said, well, it's considered to be a remedy for the tendency that we have to be competitive, that we have as human beings, and this tendency to need to come out on top, right? That sort of survival instinct, the not the great side of it that we have. And at first, when he gave that teaching, I said, oh, I don't have that. But actually, there's something about being offered the opportunity to rejoice, and you discover that, oh, I guess maybe I do, you know? Then you start rejoicing, and you realize how joyful it is, like to let go of our own need to come out on top or whatever, you know? So I was laughing when Richard was saying that, you know, he wanted to win the poetry slam. He's not here. I don't know what happened. Anyway. maybe he... Was he? That's what I thought he said. I don't know what happened.
I guess the silence.
Yes. Well, I have to check into that, yes. But not to worry, he's probably fine. So let's share some poems. And in our as the audience, in our focus on mudita, you know, just feel free to show your appreciation. And we could snap, and we could clap, and we could... So please do. Please don't be shy.
Does it have to be a poem?
No, it does not. It can be any offering, any kind of offering. Yes?
Could I begin
because
I have your best poem?
Oh, you do. Oh, we agree. Anything. Any offering.
Can the people dance?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Oh. So I struggled to write a poem. And I had different topics. And I had all kinds of fodder for poetry. But for some reason, it was crap. And I mean crap. So, does anyone know Mary Oliver? She is not crap. How I Go to the Woods by Mary Oliver. Ordinarily, I go to the woods alone with not a single friend, for they are all smilers and talkers and therefore unsuitable. I don't really want to be witnessed talking to the catbirds or hugging the old black oak tree. I have my ways of praying, as you no doubt have yours. Besides, when I'm alone, I can become invisible. I can sit on top of, can't read my own writing. I can sit on top of a dune as motionless as an uprise of weeds until the foxes run by unconcerned. I can hear the almost unbearable sound of the roses singing. If you have ever gone to the woods with me, I must love you very much. And this really, this poem I do dearly love because I do go to the woods alone. And sometimes I bring a friend, but they're chatty and they're not really paying attention to nature. And so it's a different experience. So over this retreat, I've needed to pull back. I'm a people pleaser. I'm really good at people pleasing. I do everything that everybody wants me to do. And this retreat was for me. So I chose to pull back and to shut up and listen. And what I heard, the treasures are beyond words. And I really listened, and I learned, and I have so many things that have made such an impact on me here. One of my favorite things to do is wash dishes, and I've been so joyful with the cooks and the folks in the kitchen, and it's just been, it's a delight. And and I can joke about the steam making my hair extra fluffy. And so it's just been, this sangha, this container has really allowed me to go inside and to opt out, if you will, which sounds like, well, that's not a team player, but I needed to do that, and I did, and I thank you all. And that's that. So thank you.
The mic is open.
All right, I'll go.
I think it's just perfect that...
should it be red?
Yes.
Okay. Hello. that I was meditating and really... you know, centering before this began, and then I got up and immediately knocked over a pitcher of water. And I think that kind of describes, it just fit. I felt like over the course of the last couple of days, yesterday and the day before, there were so many moments of joy and laughter and some really delicate, special moments that I felt like I was opening up to, and I was getting very quiet. And then last night, I checked in back at home with my husband. And as I've mentioned, we have a really stressful situation going on in the house we live in, and it just, it pulled me out of my refuge. It's upsetting what's going on. And today, started last night and today, I've been very sad, and I felt like, I mean, on the walk today, I was basically crying all morning, and when we meditated at the tree, I was just sobbing. And I felt like I'm putting out such bad energy. You know, before I had been able to give everyone a smile, and then when I spoke to my Sangha, my mini Sangha today, I was very humbled and comforted to hear their stories and remember, first of all, that you never know really what another person is carrying. And we all really deserve compassion, boundless compassion, including for ourselves. I've been so touched by the stories, the experiences that you all have shared. So thank you. There have been some moments of kindness, generosity from this group, this Sangha, that has been so special. So thank you all. I wanted to share one little reflection and then something else. So the reflection was yesterday on the water walk, which was as soon as we started, I realized I had to pee. And I had just peed, but then I really had to pee again, which is like, there's nothing to do about that. It's just, you know, just happens. And I was like, okay, this might be a problem. But, you know, then we got going and my body's warming up and it's like kind of okay. And then, of course, like my thoughts are like rushing and, you know, doing their thing. And then it was only in the moments when like I felt that I really had to pee that I remembered water and flow. And that was what actually brought me back to my body. So again, it's humbling and it's makes me grateful to have had this opportunity to lean into these challenges, having a certain expectation and then seeing that it's not necessarily that. So I wanted to share a song, and this is, I wanted to come up with a song, but it didn't quite come together, but there was a song that was running through my head that I thought this would be a really special one to share. It's by the Icelandic artist Björk, who, if you don't know who she is a visionary. She's a musical artist, visual artist, performance artist, and just a very special person. I hadn't really known a lot of her music. I knew about her as like a cultural figure, but then I heard this song and it was a song that just like, it was like, whoa. And I listened to it over and over and it just completely transported me and I wept listening to it. And it is part of an album called Biophilia, which is all about biological phenomena. And it actually became part of the national curriculum of Iceland. And this, well, I only found that out afterwards because I looked into it. But first, it was really the song in itself. The song is called Cosmogony, which is about the theories of the creation of the universe. And it has four verses, four creation myths that come from a Native American tradition, Sanskrit, Aboriginal and then the Big Bang myth. And in between is a chorus that repeats so we can all sing along. So the chorus, it's the same the first four times. The last time, which I'll signal you, is a little bit different. So it goes like this. Heaven, heaven's bodies whirl around me, make me wonder. So we do that four times in between each myth. And then the last time, which I'll signal you, it's just like that, except it ends with, it's heaven, heaven's bodies whirl around me and dance eternal. So try and remember that. But you'll catch on because we'll repeat. Okay. Ready?
Heaven, heaven's bodies whirl around me, make me wonder. And they say, back then, our universe was an endless sea. Until a silver fox and her cunning mate began to sing a song that became the world we know. Heaven, heaven's bodies whirl around me, make me wonder. And they say, back then, our universe was a cold black egg until the God inside burst out, and from the shattered shells, he made what became the world we know. Heaven, heaven's body, whirl around me, make me wonder. And they say, back then, our universe was an endless land until our ancestors woke up, and before they went back to sleep, they carved it up into the world we know. Heaven, heaven's body, whirl around me, make me wonder. And they say, back then, our universe wasn't even there until a certain bang, and then there was light, was sound, was matter, and it all became the world we know. bodies whirl around me and dance eternal.
I think that's good. Maybe. Okay. So I'll start with this little blurb I've been writing. It's not a poem. It's something else. I don't know what it is, but so the title is Just Around the Bend, Treasure. Just Around the Bend, Treasure. I'm on a quest for some good treasure this morning. As I reach a vantage point after some arduous hike, I see some promise in the distance around the bend. As I approach closer, after a few minutes, confusion sets in. Which bend was I thinking? I traverse one bend after another, but no treasure. But there was no treasure to be had. Then it hit me. I was tired, thirsty, and hopeless. The mosquitoes were having a field day. I was about to turn around when it occurred to me to press the clunky old reset button of my life app. Looks like it still works every time. Instead of thinking in terms of one destination, what if I break down my destinations into smaller ones, and then I can harvest the treasure after each micro destination? What if a destination doesn't have to be in the future, but it can be in the past? What if it can also be non-linear or even multidimensional? Or what if you can traverse many destinations at once? Is destination based on length of time, my frame of mind, or state of being? At this point in time, I'm supposed to look for some kind of sign, you know? But I didn't need to. My feet were already dancing. To be continued. So I'm gonna sing. You may want to get up and dance, or I want to sing a little chant, and it's easy to follow. So the words are, okay, let me remember. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the words are Radhe Govinda. You can you repeat after me? Radhe Govinda. Govinda.
Radhe Govinda.
So the in Indian spirituality, the Radhe is the consort of Krishna, and in Indian mythology, the feminine is always mentioned before the masculine because it is believed that the way to God is through being feminine. So in Indian chants and everywhere, the feminine name is always mentioned before the masculine name. So Radhe Govinda.
Radhe Govinda.
Govinda Gopala.
Govinda Gopala.
Radhe Govinda.
Radhe Govinda.
Govinda Gopala.
Govinda Gopala.
Okay, so I will sing, you can just, you know, dance and...
come on, guys, come on!
It will be call and response, so I'll sing, and then you can respond and, you know.
Do you want to plug it in?
You can.
You can, yeah.
Start a little slower. Oh, this is the maybe
what
this
have you
one.
Got there?
Okay, this one.
Okay.
I don't have a.
Is it an iPhone?
No, it's not an iPhone.
Okay, okay.
I don't have a.
Oh, I'm sorry, I can't help you.
That's all right.
But we can hear that.
No,
you know what?
No, I think I have.
Do. Okay. Yeah, yeah. That should work.
You play?
Should be coming in. Can you turn it up on your phone a little bit?
Govinda Gopala Radhe Govinda Govinda, Govinda Gopala. Hare 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 Govinda, Govinda Gopala. Hey, Hare Govinda, Govinda Gopala. 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 Govinda Gopala, Radhe Govinda, Govinda Gopala, Radhe Govinda, Govinda Gopala, Radhe Govinda, Govinda Gopala, Radhe Govinda, Govinda. Radhe Govinda, Govinda Gopala. Radhe Govinda, Govinda Gopala. Radhe Govinda, Govinda Gopala. Radhe Govinda, Govinda Gopala. Hari Om. Radhe Govinda, Govinda Gopala. Radhe Govinda, Govinda Gopala. Radhe Govinda, Govinda Gopala. Radhe Govinda, Govinda Gopala. I'm gonna sing something else, but you can do the refrain. Okay. Radhe Govinda. Radhe Govinda, Govinda Gopala. Radhe Govinda, Govinda Gopala. Krishna Kanhaiya hai Nandlala. Radhe Govinda, Krishna Kanhaiya hai Nandlala. Radhe Govinda, Radhe 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 Govinda. Krishna Kanhaiya hai Nandlala. Radhe Govinda, Radhe 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 Govinda. Govinda, Radhe Govinda, Radhe 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 Govinda, Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda, Radhe 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 Govinda, Gopala, Radhe Govinda. Govinda Gopala, Radhe Radhe Govinda, Govinda Gopala, Radhe Govinda, Govinda Gopala, Radhe Govinda, Govinda Gopala, Radhe Govinda, Govinda Gopala, Radhe Govinda. Go.
Govinda Gopala, Radhe Govinda, 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 Govinda Gopala.
So I figured I would read a poem that I wrote. I recently went through a really heartbreaking relationship, an ending to a relationship back in April. So when I wrote this poem, I was in like a really bitter state of consciousness. But at the end of the poem, I found myself coming into a sweeter state of consciousness. And yeah. It's called Dancing with the Devil. His words were poison, a sting so great, a fallen man experiencing his fate. His path of darkness, our values misaligned, in all of his judgment, I felt so confined. In his control with his screams so evil, lost in a world with so much upheaval. Critiquing my character, his views so blurred, my love, my safety left intentionally unheard. A leech he latched to my generosity's flow, his care so selfish, my soul couldn't grow. Taking and taking, my heart became closed, his narcissistic behavior finally exposed. Romantic feelings for others, his secrets revealed, his hidden desires locked away and concealed. Calling me names with so much profanity, destroying my heart and breaking my sanity. Not proud of my lies, it was to keep myself safe. Tangled webs that I'd spun, a charade I'd embrace. Finding the wisdom amidst the storm to sever the cords to reclaim my form. Becoming a phoenix, reborn anew. Growing from the ashes of a love I once knew. His abandonment a blessing, a hidden protection. My angels came in, guiding a brand new direction. I shed the restraints that bonded my soul, grounded back on my path, regaining control. No longer captive to his toxic hold, my heart, my beating heart becoming less cold. Self-love renewed, self-undoing explored. All I ever needed was to be adored. Finally at peace, there's no need for this prison. We all deserve to be happy and all is forgiven. May he also find peace. I wish him the best. As we all move forward in our separate quest. My love is forever. I leave it with you, a conscious heart so pure, now restoring and true.
Put it up a little bit. My plan is not what I'm going to do, unfortunately. I wanted to write the words, because yesterday, or was it the day before, I can't remember, I finished one of my poems with My Page Is Wet, I Have to Go. And what kept resonating through my brain was the Leaving on a Jet Plane song. You know, my bags are packed, I have to go. And I thought, that'd be really cool, except I can't sing a note, and I'd have to get someone to sing with me. And I knew we had a singer here, and I was going to kind of reach out, and I thought, I can't do that, because that would be breaking silence. But I had this vision of you and I trying to sing that, and I was going to write the lyrics, so. But it didn't happen. maybe another time. But what I did do instead, I just want to tell you a little bit about my process over the last couple of days, because I kind of, when I go on these retreats, usually by about day 3 or 4, I'm really on a high. You know, I kind of get lifted and I'm flying. And here it was almost the opposite. Like the first couple of days I was like that. And today I had, like at the end of the day, I was kind of left with a little bit of a hollow feeling. Like I named it this afternoon, existential angst. You know, like this realization that here we are in nature, and nature has got this perfect balance and interdependence, and everything works. And why can't we human beings do that? You know, like, what's wrong with us? And we've got so many gifts. I won't say more gifts, because I take what Jim said this afternoon. Like, you know, we're different. But I was a little disappointed with this whole journey we're on, given that we have a capacity to really screw things up rather than make things better. So this was bothering me when I left here this afternoon. And I went to dinner, had a quick dinner, I came back, showered, and I laid on my bed for a while, and I'm pondering it. And a light bulb went off. And I got to thank Willa for this one, of introducing the refuges. I thought, what's the refuge here for this existential angst? And of course it was the refuges, the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. But then, which one? And then I remembered one of the very early things that I learned in Buddhism was I heard a Dharma talk on the Kalama Sutta. And I thought, that's it. Anyone familiar with the Kalama Sutta? I'll tell you the story real quick. So I'll tell you with a little bit of an Australian flavor, if that's all right. But the Buddha was this guy who used to go walk about a lot, right? He'd wander off and he'd go from village to village and he would teach. And the villagers would come and gather whenever he hit town, because he was the best thing, you know, around to listen to. He was really great and they loved listening to good teachers. In fact, a lot of teachers in those days used to wander around and teach. So he wasn't the only dude that showed up in town, but he was a star attraction, right? But every one of these teachers that passed through this particular village where the Kalama people lived, they were on a crossroads. They had a lot of teachers coming through town. And every week there'd be a new star arrive, right? Well, they'd give their Dharma talk, and then they'd tell people how they should be living their life according to the Dharma. And one teacher would say this, and one teacher would say that, and it's like, what gives here? Who do we believe? And so the people were a little confused. So they started to talk among themselves and said, what do we do? You know, like, we hear this, we hear that, we hear something else. What do we believe? We don't know what to believe or what to do. So the Buddha was coming to town, and they thought, he's the guy. He's going to sort this one out for us. So the Buddha shows up, and they listen to his talk, and then one townsperson gets up the courage to ask the big question. And, you know, basically fesses up and says, you know, we get all these teachers coming through here and they're all telling us this thing, this thing, this thing. Who do we believe? And the Buddha, in his wisdom, says, if someone tells you to do this or someone tells you to do that, don't believe them. First, you must try it out and see how it matches your experience. Does it bring joy? Does it do harm? Does it create less suffering or more suffering? That way you will know whether it's a good thing to do or not. Try it on. Right? Makes sense, right? And so I've been a big fan of experiential learning ever since then. And trust your own experience. And that's my approach to the Dharma in, you know, pretty much everything I do. It's like, how does it match my experience? And the thing that I got today was, I know what really lights me up in life when I do it. Whenever I'm loving and being lovingly kind, it comes back to me even before I've finished. If I'm compassionate, it makes me feel good. If I help someone who's suffering, that really is a gift to me. Yeah. So that's my answer, you know. So in answer to the question, you know, what do we do while we're waiting for the bus? What do we do while we're waiting to take that last exit? We do the thing, or I do, and I can only answer this for myself because you've got to trust your own experience. What is it that really brings you joy in life? What creates less suffering? What creates a better world? Yeah. And it's really interesting, but when I first came to this country, I came to Kripalu in 1984 as a seeker, basically. I'd left a career in Australia and I decided to follow the yogi path. And so I arrived there all ready to go. And it was a great experience. I lived there for a couple of years and became one of the teachers there and went on to create my life out of that. So it's been a real gift. But one of the teacher of behind Kripalu was Swami Kripal Vandaji. I don't know if any of you have heard of him. So Swami Kripalu for short. And Swami Kripalu considered himself, and actually there was a book written about him, Pilgrim on the Path of Love. And he considered himself a pilgrim on the path of love. And after today, so do I. So I just offer that as where, you know, where I've come to today. And it's almost like coming full circle, coming home again. And so thank you. And thank you, everyone. It's been just a great sangha to be with and practice with. And maybe we'll get to talk to each other at lunchtime tomorrow, right? Okay, thank you.
I'll just thanks. Yeah, that's great. Hi, I'm Pam. And I've never been to a retreat, and I'm only a year into learning mindfulness and meditation. So my teacher of mindfulness and meditation says, just go and be curious. I said, oh yeah, I can do that always. You know, I'm curious. So I grew up in a little town of Holden that's very close to here. And as I drove out, I was like, oh my gosh, I remember all these towns' names. And I was grinning. I grinned the whole way. And I was so excited. And then I meet Mike, who lives in Holden. And this whole thing just was going around of fun. And I just feel like I've had little messages to bring me here. And I found them when I got here, but I also found some before. And one of those is this book, Braiding Sweet Grass. And it's a botanist who collected data and presented data and found, asked questions, found answers. But she also had Native American roots. And she decided something was missing out of all this data, the science, this strictness. And she started going back and thinking, oh, I think these plants talk. I think this is where it began. And so she went back and started journeying to her native people and learning all those old traditions of being respectful to the whole earth, to their world that they relied on to survive, and the plants and the animals, everything that we see here and we've been experiencing. So this was like a little path. And I was reading it so much, I said, oh, I've got to save this for when I get to the retreat. This is what we're talking about. And so I did, and then I picked up another book. It was about Crow Mary, Mary Crow, whatever. So anyways, I was so excited. I just have been grinning. I had the bell ringer at 6:30 job, and a friend appeared, and the first day, I got up at 4:30 to ring it at 6:30. That's how. And and whoever I live next to, I guess my alarm went off at 4:30, and she could hear it, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know there was a vibrate thing. But anyways, this Susan's out there, and she has to take a video of me. And she's been out there every morning with me. And it's so comforting. And then we have the miracle, the little baby. I'm missing my first grandchild, and I have another on the way. So to see you beaming has just brought joy. And then I have my group, my ladies, and Ray that's not here. But they've opened space for me to feel what I've been feeling. And some has been really high, like reliving my childhood, coming here and playing. I took my first walk, and I've been looking for bittersweet at home. Can't find bittersweet that I can pick. My gosh, this whole road is bittersweet. And I said, oh my gosh, did you know I was coming? Like, honestly, I was like, and I'm beaming. I want to just run and jump, and every path I've taken is bittersweet. And then I'm a tea station person, my fellow tea station person. I really shouldn't have jobs because I take it way too serious. But I also like to make it fun. So, well, coffee became real fun. It has been a big thing for this group. And I was supposed to do tea, but the looks in your eyes about coffee just broke my heart. And one woman that left came up to me after the first day, and the coffee pots are going over, this one's going over and getting plugged, and oh my gosh, you gotta put it this way. And it's like 4 o'clock or 3:30, she's holding her head and pointing. So I tried, and we actually made a cup of coffee. It didn't overflow, it didn't get stuck, and I was like, ah, oh, this makes me feel so good. Well, the next day it didn't work. And we tried again. Morning tea person. We worked together. So we're talking, but it was important. And you just have to push hard, push it down hard. Tara in the kitchen says, just push it hard, it's gotta click. And we're good, it's gotta click, but also it's gotta close, and that's the thing. So we're wasting a lot of coffee, and this is really now like getting to me, like I gotta figure something out, this is serious. So I just put doesn't work, broken, and went and left a note for whoever runs the kitchen. I think we need an urn that does 40 cups because this is getting way too much. But anyways, morning tea station lady fixed it. She thinks she's got it. She made regular and decaf. That even helped more because now we have two going. And so I've been making it in the decaf because I was given permission. So that is that. And
just so you know, there are other coffees. So you work so hard, you have to leave now.
And then it comes to the walking. I always walk alone, and I have my flow, and I have my dizziness, and whatever. And to get in line with 25 people was really hard. It was good in the fact that you slowed me down, because I can get in that rat race with my mind going like this, so that was good. But I was forgetting how beautiful it was. I was like, someone asked me, will you be behind me and can you push me up if I fall? So, okay, I'm there for you. And, and I thought, okay, it's just the caretaker in me. I don't mind. It makes me happy. So I've been wanting to learn about the sweep. And when you brought that up, I was like, wow, the sweep. Somebody just told me about this. So that was another little message. Well, I couldn't do that sweep because I was so distracted about everything. So anyways, it was nice and going on. And the first day we were supposed to go out, and I don't know what we were supposed to do alone, but I had a vision. I had to get to that pond, and I had to get to that gazebo, and couldn't find either. And then I look, and I like, screwed that up by searching. I'm not supposed to be searching. Oh well, I laughed, said come back, met with my team, it was fun. And then yesterday, when we were back in here, and everybody was sharing such unbelievable stories. They broke my heart, but raised my heart at the same time. And but I don't know a lot of the words to any of this. The pronunciations, and I'm thinking, wow, then it got me. I said, I am really naive to all of this. And then the judgment came. I'm immature. Why am I here? You know, this whole monkey brain started. And I just thought, oh, there's too much noise, there's too many words, and it was getting confused. And I said, no, you're tired. But I fell. I mean, I just dropped to a place I've been before and didn't want to be again. But I went back to bed and had my mala beads. They tell me to let it go, and I said, I'm tired, I'll go to sleep. Woke up this morning at 6:15 and said, oh, the bell. I got to go to the bell, and Susan met me. Once again, she's there. But then it dropped again. I just kept saying, you know, I just feel low. I didn't know what to do with that. And I came in the morning and realized I didn't share the night before, and maybe that's the problem, but it wasn't time to share. And then I started crying, sitting on my mat, and I'm like, oh my goodness, Pamela, get it. Let it go. And then as we went through everything, it just lifted. We went on another walk. My tree was great. It was the mother and the son and the daughter all fused together. And then we were supposed to go out and look at the vastness in the afternoon, and God dang, I had to get to that gazebo. I had to play. I started running and playing, and I met our friend out there, and I sat in that gazebo and felt like a kid again out in our big yard and forest where we would build huts, and I just sat there and said, I'm in the right place. This is right for me. No, I don't know these words. I don't know half of what's being talked about. Your journeys are beautiful. And then I had to find the pond. I'm a lefty, and I blame it on being a lefty that I get my left and rights switched over all the time. And I got around the pond, and then I saw Yogi, and I'm like, I made it. Somebody's here.
Well, that's the wrong pond.
No way. It doesn't matter. No. It doesn't matter. It was a pond. Yeah. I was wondering why it was so close to the highway or whatever that road is, but I said, well, he's here, I'm here, it's a pond. And it was a pond. It said you could take B, BA, BB to get around it. There was no BA, BB because I was up to here. And grass and sludge. But anyways,
I was hoping you would sit down there.
I didn't want to bother you in your expansion of whatever. But thank you. I know you kind of move things.
Yeah.
So then I said, well, I got to get back. So I have all these signs written down, are the orange, red. So now I'm trying to go back, and nope, went off the wrong way. I look at my watch, and it's like 5:04. I said, oh my gosh. Went this way for quite a while, said, nope, the number's not right. Came back, this is the right number. I better go here. I thought it was orange, it's supposed to be red. But whatever, all of a sudden the gazebo showed up. I said, I need to take a picture of this because this, I'll show my sister, and she's just gonna go wild. And I'm rushing down. I love thunder. I love all the rain. It was my childhood. Felt so safe running. Now it's what, 4:20? These two girls are like, where is she? And I was like, I played. I made it to the gazebo. I made it to a pond. And I don't know. I came to play. I had to play. There were too many messages. And I lay in a lot of fields. I lay on the beach and look. But I came here, I guess, to play. And thank you so much. You make my world.
All right, everyone, let's stand for a minute to stretch. And it occurs to me that there's still a lot of you left who have not yet shared. And so I am going to find somebody in this room who's very meticulous. Because I know that no matter what, if I ask her to ring that every 5 minutes, she will. And so
The next person may come up. We have 5 minutes each. Okay. Perfect. That's the start.
No repeats, right?
Right,
you
start.
I gave the ring to you all to think quickly.
Come on, folks. The seconds are ticking by.
Molten core to the sky, burning hot red. Now I am sealed, very cold, but not dead. Come, listen close. I am still humming. Place your hands on my surface. I am cool, as the deep forest earth. I mingle there with the thirsty tree roots and carry the chill to your hot palms on Midsummer's Day.
That you mentioned, I call it the Brahma Viharas, the boundlessness. Yeah, and because I was trying to get comfortable with this mosquito, and so I was trying to use them, the Brahma Viharas, to befriend, to like be okay with, to just eventually I had to get up and write this poem, just you know, just gave them like a little bit of a moment to disperse. They were friendly. Okay, so this is Ode to the Mosquitoes. And I will say that there is a reply that the mosquitoes wrote. So, oh mosquito, I love you too, yet I fear this may be more like attachment. Your hovering T-shaped bodies with wings and movement faster than any marathon runner. You smell me, I hear you, different modes of communication. We are not practicing wise speech. Still though, I understand. You need me to live much like I need Gaia to restore. Your hymn of despair reminds me just how lucky I am to have this time outside. This is your world. I'm just in it for the plunge today. And yet, you seem perky and focused. Determination and perseverance look good on you. Such a joy in me to see your little bent appendages act like helicopter wheels coming in for a landing. So too I wish for the continuation of all species on this planet. You may be small in comparison to this human, but we share a space, equals in this journey through time and space. Thus, mosquito friend, I call to you, let me enjoy these divine abodes within your presence. No? Fine. Here's my shoulder. And then this part, from the mosquito's perspective, I really loved the poem that we went over today. And so I tried to take pieces of that. I don't know if you'll recognize it. This human appearance is bound in accessibility. That very accessibility allows for dinner guests. If you catch my meaning, you may not be thrilled with the outcome. But if you take my nose to heart, this is a true feeding. And those who believe in the cycle of life, they will understand. I, a mosquito of good Barry, Massachusetts lineage, who has lived countless lifetimes on names and prayers. First, this is a precursor to a snack. Second, this is the buzz you've heard around the trees. Third, this is the ramblings of a mosquito with fairly obvious intentions. Though they swat and cower and beg for relief, I behave like a demoness indeed.
Meditation retreat, and I found the phenomenon of water pouring out of my eyes continuously. And there was nothing wrong. I wasn't thinking any sad thoughts, but just continuous tears streaking down my face. And one woman described it as incontinence of the eyes. And, you know, it's been a while since I've had that experience, but today I had. And I'm not even quite sure what it is. It's a confluence of experiences and insights and, like, a heart opening. So it was a really beautiful day. Really grateful. So I just wanted to introduce a wonderful book. It's called Love Letter to the Earth, by my teacher, Thich Nhat Hanh. Probably many people here have him as their teacher. And, you know, he's inspired me in so many ways. And I feel like he's with us tonight. It's a beautiful book. We Are the Earth, Healing Steps, Welcome Home. Amplifying Our Power, Practices for Falling in Love with the Earth, and then he has 10 love letters to the Earth, and finishes with Toward a Cosmic Religion, which, you know, I could take any one of these pages to read tonight. I just felt drawn to this, sharing some of what I found tonight, and just picked this. So this is a letter, one of his letters. Dear Mother, thanks to the precious gift of awareness, we can recognize our own presence and realize our true place in you and in the cosmos. We humans are no longer naive in thinking ourselves the masters of the universe. We know that in terms of the universe, we are tiny and insignificant, and yet our minds are capable of encompassing numberless worlds. We know that our beautiful planet Earth is not the center of the universe, and yet we can still see it as one of the universe's many wondrous manifestations. We have developed science and technology and discovered reality's true nature of no birth and no death, of neither being nor non-being, neither increasing nor decreasing, neither the same nor different. We realize that the one contains the all, that the greatest is contained within the smallest, and that each particle of dust contains the whole cosmos. We are learning to love you and our Father more, and to love one another in the light of this insight of interbeing. We know that this non-dualistic way of seeing things can help us to transcend all discrimination, fear, jealousy, hatred, and despair. Shakyamuni Buddha was a child of yours who attained full awakening at the foot of the Bodhi tree. After his long journey of seeking, he realized that the earth is our true and only home, and that heaven, the whole cosmos, and the ultimate dimension can be touched right here with you. Dear Mother, we promise to remain with you throughout consciousness. offering you our talent, strength, and health so that many more bodhisattvas can continue to rise up from your soil. Mm-hmm. Leaving detritus stuck, staining everywhere. Can we lay here together longer? For a day? For a month? For an eon, perhaps? Until my bones turn to dust? While you tumble slow, deeper into the dark soil. Grandmother, forgive me for not recognizing you, for this soul is so young.
So disorganized tonight.
That's what I make you feel bad.
I feel much better.
I just went off.
Oh, okay, excellent. Just push it down.
It just went off.
Was it out of power?
Oh, yeah, it could be the batteries.
Oh.
Another one?
Wait, where's our Eric, our expert? our tech support is here.
Inside voice.
Yeah. Oh, actually, you know what? You could do this too.
Oh, I could do that.
Well, better not. Requires this on your.
That's good.
Lapel.
Yeah. Just remind me that I have this on for anchor pad. So, wow, that's really loud. Can everybody hear me? Sorry.
I think
I'm all set.
No, it's bad. You're too loud.
Oh, okay. Too loud? Some enchanted evening. Hello, testing.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't get it off. Can you get it off?
Okay.
I guess I was double mic'd. Okay, we got three mics in here. All right. Okay. Shkaboom. So I've spent 35 years in the classroom as I'm a professor, and I talk a lot, and I still have this challenge around invisibility, and I know it's a deep kind of wound. It goes back to my family of origin, and so it's difficult. I have to say, and let me start off with a little haiku. I've been playing with haiku lately, and so I wrote this little haiku. Am I in or out? Said the invisible man. A distant bell chimes. And when I was in this, seeking this treasure in this little spot, it was a spot where some of you may have already, there was a little altar there, and I sat there, and I was like, just so many thoughts. I mean, so many worries, ticks, mosquitoes. And so finally, two things happened. One, I looked around, I looked up at, there's this yellow part of the trees, and suddenly my mind went calm. That was dramatic, very dramatic, just calm. And then I looked down, and I saw that there was a spider with this enormous web, little spider with enormous web. And it had caught something, and it was wrapping it up. And I'm like, don't kill it. You know, do I rescue the little fly? Because that's my instinct, is to go in and sort of, you can't have that. But of course you can have it. That's life. So that was a really powerful experience of just trying not to intervene and letting it be and letting it unfold and letting it happen, which is a good thing for me to be aware of and to think about and to practice. So I also had one other haiku and then a poem I wrote about my father. So I'll do the other haiku first. This is a kind of a dark haiku. A tree speaks to me over the sound of chainsaws. Nearby, children weep. Quick poem. It's not really quick. Yes, it is. It's mostly quick. This is called A Sycamore Tree. Hold the gong. Oh. We had technical difficulties in the beginning. The truth is, a sycamore tree, the truth is, I never knew what hit me. One day I had a million little friends on an amazing, glorious ride, and boom, I was broken down in suburban wilderness of cornfields groomed into redundant cul-de-sacs dotted with two-story colonials and concrete driveways full of unfamiliar people and empty yards. My father had moved us miles from paradise to a barren manufactured community. We were not asked. I've been promoted, he said, and we have to move. This was the 60s, after all. Everyone was pursuing the American dream, or supposed to be. After the move, Dad decided to plant a massive tree in the front yard. It needed something, he said. New house, new tree. It was a sycamore tree with big, beautiful leaves and a colorful trunk. He watered and fed it even when freshly planted. It was the tallest tree on the street, a glorious monument to the promises of suburban bliss. Over time, Dad made his way in the world. Indeed, he was larger than life, making money and spending it lavishly on beautiful homes, nice cars, lavish trips, until at 85, 20 years after his retirement, my mom called to say, Mike, we're broke. I didn't believe her at first. Dad was too ashamed to tell me. Years later, while walking their little dog alone, he was found lying in the road, his head hard against the concrete, the dog leash tangled around his feet. He had fallen. It was the blood thinner, the neurologist said. A bruised brain doesn't like pools of blood. In 2 days, he was comatose. In 5 days, my mom called to say, "I'm taking him off life support. Are you okay with that?" Several nights later, after returning to the U.S., I kissed him goodbye. I caressed his bruised head gently, scabs against my lips, his mouth open. "Anybody home?" I like to believe he waited for me to come home so he too could say goodbye. When Mom woke me later that night to say he had died, I sat in bed numb. The flame of the family was out, his spirit in the ethers. 50 years later now, you can go to our old house on Google Earth and see the tree that my father planted. It towers over the house now and consumes most of the front yard. He would have been so proud of it. The image I conjure, though, is not on Google Earth. It pulls from my memory and imagination those bits and pieces of paradise and bliss that I had to leave behind, where being with all my little friends, as I used to call them in my prayers, was real with laughter and play, connection. In this dream, my father is standing tall, healed, sober, smiling, holding my hand, teaching me how to make new friends, tending to me like that sycamore tree, confident I will flourish and grow in that strange new world. Now I'm done. And thank you, everyone, for this.
Hey everyone, thank you so much. This has been my.
Oh, it's fine.
Sure.
Why doesn't go up anymore?
There's one more right below it, Yogi.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's okay.
This is the best I can do.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Just wanted to say this has been my first retreat. Thank you, everyone, so much for sharing. For your playfulness, and also I spent a lot of today in tears as well, and it sounds like many of you did as well. And I didn't know that the tsunami Willow was talking about before was real and was going to cause flash flooding in Barrie. I'm not sure if anyone else got that iPhone alert, but I'm starting to think it was us. I wanted to share just one quick thing. When we were doing our sitting meditation under the tree, there was two barred owls duetting back and forth. And in birding, there are things called mnemonics, ways of remembering what a bird's song is, so that when we hear it, we can recite it back to ourselves and remember what that species is. And I've recited this to myself so many times, hundreds of times, and I've never really looked at it as a poem until now. And I'll play you the song because I won't do it justice, but... Oh, sorry. So it says, "Who cooks for you? Who cooks for you all?" And I just wanted to say thank you again, and you certainly have all been cooking for me.
Thank you.
for bringing up haiku, because I like economy of language, you may have noticed. So I've stuck with haiku. So yesterday, when Ramalola asked us to find a rock, I was really happy, because I love rocks. And I found a big triangular-shaped rock that I didn't want to come off of. And it had a light, it had lichen in the shape of a gold orb. So you'll understand my haiku, if that's in fact what I wrote. Calm, moth, lichen, sun, hand, footholds, mini mountain, and ever changing. Suffer through one more haiku. So today, when we did the tree, I came up with this. And this one has a title.
A little closer to the mic. Oh. A little closer. Oh, there we go.
Okay. Arboreal progenitor. Breath in unison. Hums mosquito lullaby. Are you my mother?
Of the word you ended on. There's been a lot of talk of mothers on this retreat, and Lisa, I was particularly inspired by something you said last night about this image of finally being back with your mother and having this four generations of women, this incredible moment of healing that wasn't what you expected. And sorry. And my mom has been with me so much this week and this season of life, I guess I would say. I'm watching as she cares for her dying mother in what was such a painful relationship for her, and she will probably never get the restoration that she could use, or the apology that she maybe deserves from that end, and yet still she's showing up. And I'm watching as my grandmother even realizes that in real time. So there's a certain kind of healing that's there that is not maybe what it was hoped for or what was expected, but beautiful nonetheless. And on my end, I'm just have spent the recent years realizing, just coming more and more to see my mother in her fullness, and how much she has done for me. I mean, it's like truly inconceivable. And more than that, I would say just coming to appreciate her as my first true spiritual teacher in life, and in this way that is so feminine and so grounded and so immediate, just this like reminder to return to your Irish intuition, and like conversations at the Sunday dinner table with elders growing up about the unseen and ghosts and presences and things like that. And so this week, thanks to the plants, she was particularly with me. Goldenrod, 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 everywhere goldenrod. I am a child again, riding in the back seat, the sound of my mother's voice clear from the front. You know what they say, she says. When you see goldenrod, fall isn't long away. Goldenrod, goldenrod, goldenrod. Your explosion of yellow announces the sound of her words. A confusion of time as my eyes blur, the salty waters of what is only anticipated loss. You won't be forgotten, overlooked, or mistaken. Goldenrod, again, goldenrod. You, with your color of loud, ringing a gong of change through a flower of fireworks. Skeletons dancing, howling with laughter. I want to resist you, but How could I lament the arrival of something so beautiful?
Okay, all right. And I'm glad that got done because I'm going to ask for somebody to. Does anybody know Simple Gifts? It's a Shaker song?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I think it would be nice if we sung that together. It's, an American community, nonviolent, religious, and was in this area. Was more in New York State too. So who would like to begin? It's a gift.
Tis a gift.
To be simple, tis a gift. To be free, tis a gift. To come down where we ought to be. And when we lie in the place just right, we will be in the valley. Love and delight when true simplicity is gained. To bow and to bend, we'll not be remain. To turn, turn, to turn away light till by turning, turning we come down.
Okay, so this is a follow-up to the story about my mother and my granddaughter. So my granddaughter's name is Aria. And I need everyone to participate in this. So my mother loved to sing, and she would just be singing all the time. But one family tradition we have is that when we sing Happy Birthday, there's like several verses to Happy Birthday. And my granddaughter really caught on to this. And so she'll call me on the phone because she lives in Atlanta now, and she'll ask me to sing Stand Up, which is like one of the verses of Happy Birthday. So I thought what we could do tonight is like sing Happy Birthday to each other. And so what I was thinking is that maybe what I could do is have you stand up for the month of your birthday. So whose birthday is in January, if you could stand up? What is it? What's your birthday?
Yeah.
What day?
18.
January 18th. How about February? What's your
date?
February 26th. I'm February 7th. Who, anyone else February? Oh. What's your due date?
February 18th.
Oh. Okay, how about March? Any March birthdays? Wow, no one in March. Okay, April? April 2nd?
17th.
April 17th, okay. May, any May birthdays?
17th.
May 17th? May
7th?
27th. May 27th? Mm-hmm. And June?
June.
Whoa! June
18th?
24th? Oh. 15. 15? 26. 11th. Okay, and then July. Who's in July? What's your birthday? 8th? 8th? 14th? 24th. And August. Any August birthdays? No. September? Anyone in September? When's your birthday?
16th.
Oh, cool. Coming up.
So everybody had a birthday in April. I'm just stand up because 30 years ago today I gave birth to my daughter.
So. Today?
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What's your daughter's name?
Hannah.
Happy birthday, Hannah.
16.
Nice.
Yes. We've been together all week.
And and October? Okay, and November? 11th. And December? 13th.
12th.
31st. Okay. And I'm just gonna add that my mother's birthday was December 6th, and my granddaughter Aria's birthday is October 24th. Okay, so this is really easy, the happy birthday song. So as soon as I start the verses, you'll be able to just join in. Okay, so the first verse is the regular. So we're just gonna start. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, fellow yogis. Happy birthday to you. Stand up, stand up, stand up and take a bow. Woo woo! Stand up, stand up, stand up and take a bow. Woo woo! For she's a jolly good fellow. For she's a jolly good fellow. For she's a jolly good fellow. Which nobody can deny. Which nobody can deny. Which nobody can deny. For she's a jolly good fellow. For she's a jolly good fellow. For she's a jolly good fellow. Which nobody can deny. Woo! Memory of Kitty. My mother's name is Kitty.
Awkward with all these eyes on me, but I don't really have a poem or anything to offer. I just want to thank a couple of people. I got some bits of wisdom, obviously, from you. I struggle with compassion, not compassion for the furred-footed, clawed, and pawed things, but compassion for people. But it really struck me when you said there are wise ones in the world. And there are loving ones in the world. And we have to remember that. And you all taught me compassion this weekend too, because I was very touched by everything you said. So thank you for that.
Do not have a poem. I tried. The poem I wrote the other day was the first poem I've ever written in my life. So I thought I'd just talk about, you were just saying, Kitty, my shirt. So this is an actual Key West cat. The woman who painted this was, of course, your run-of-the-mill starving artist who was trying to get to Tibet, of all places. How can I do this? Well, she racked her brain, realized people were walking by her house taking pictures of her cat, which actually sat on her porch like this. Very unusual stature for a cat. So, you know, she said, okay, well, I'm going to paint this and put it on a t-shirt and sell the t-shirts. I bought one. I get compliments nonstop on this. Like, what is it? Where did you get that? She ended up going to Tibet. So it goes to show you, where there's a will, there's a cat. And last thing, all this talk about treasure. I actually sell treasure in Key West. Sunken treasure. I work for a gentleman by the name of Mel Fisher, who is past now, but he started off a chicken farmer from Indiana, searched for the Atocha, which is a Spanish galleon, went down in 1622, and actually found it right outside Key West after 16 years of searching. It's the world's richest treasure ship ever recovered in our history. He's brought up half a billion so far, and according to the manifest, there's still that much underwater. So, nonetheless, I thought it was kind of funny talking about treasure that I just pulled my card out. Thank you very much. I'll be here all night.
Nothing. I just wanted to let you all know I'm actually a very verbal, funny, sparkling person. Although I haven't shown you that this weekend. And I want to give great thanks to all of you for creating this wonderful container and sympathetic joy. Is that mudita?
Mudita.
That's how I have felt tonight with all of you. I feel like I'm at a comedy club or the Moth Hour. So thank you.
Take care of her. One more time. Hey, Yana, ho, Yana, hey, Yan, Yan. Heian, Ahoian, Heian, Yan. The earth is our mother. We must take care of her. The earth is our mother. We must take care of her. Thank you for letting me let those out. In my head.
I think not. Is that everyone's out? No, right? Not everyone.
That's okay.
There's no musts, but. So much open space.
So even though I said there wasn't going to be any prizes, I did find something, and it felt like there should be a prize for everyone. And so you're probably wondering what it is. It's a poem. It is a poem. Everyone gets a poem, because you don't have enough of these. So I wasn't quite sure when this one would come out, but I knew it had to come out. If only because it's one of my favorite poems in the whole world. And I do realize that many of you have heard of this poem, or you know this poem, because it's made the rounds in the world, on the interwebs, and so forth. But it is so beautiful, and it's so resonant with the Zen poems. And it didn't strike me until this retreat, when we were all together, that wild geese, which is the name of this poem, is that phrase is present in so many of the Zen poems. So it made me wonder if Mary Oliver was inspired by these Zen poets in some of her work. And it was lovely that one of you offered a Mary Oliver for us already. But I thought we might recite this one all together to wrap up our evening. And for you to take home. You ready? Would you like to try that? Let's do it together as part of our pre-dedication. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on.
Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things.
What a totally joyful poetry slam, everyone. Good work, good job. So maybe one round of applause just for all of you for your courage and for all of you that didn't speak up too. Thank you for being here with your mudita. And let's do a dedication here at the end. I think we have the prayer somewhere, maybe, perhaps. Oh, the dedications. Do you have some in there? Okay, we could share. We can share. Oh, good. Okay, well, you and I will share this one. We can share this one. Okay, good. May all places be held sacred. May all beings be cherished. May all wounds to forests, rivers, deserts, oceans, all wounds to Mother Earth be lovingly restored to bountiful health. May all beings everywhere delight in whale song, bird song, and blue sky. May all beings abide in peace and well-being, awaken and be free.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.